What a joy to be with you this evening and be able to share many thoughts. Christian education has become, over the years, one of my favorite subjects. I taught Bible in a Christian high school for 16 years in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and so before going to Covenant College. And so there's been some kind of continuity in terms of the school that you have here. It's wonderful to hear David's report because one of the neat things about hearing his report is a kind of connection of hearing what's going on here, because I had many students at Covenant College who graduated from this particular Christian high school. So that's a joy as well to be a part of that and see this now in terms of our boots are on the ground here. So anyways, if you would, I want to look at three passages, as you can see in your bulletin, that I am very, very fond of concerning Christian education, and that I want to share with you. And so if you do not mind, I am going to begin with the Deuteronomy passage and the Shema. From Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, many of you may be very familiar with this. So I ask you to listen carefully to the holy and infallible word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Colossians 1. 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in everything he might be preeminent. And in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Romans 11. Verses 33 through 36, it is from this text that I have the title of my message this evening. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we are so thankful for our children, and we are so thankful that they are such a blessing to us. And we're thankful for the instruction that you give to us by thy word. We ask that we would be faithful to be those children ourselves, to teach our children about the things of thy person that comes from thee into the creation. And we ask, O Lord, that we would not depart from it. In Christ's name, amen. As we come together this evening to celebrate Christian education, that the board, the administration, the faculty, and the staff offers on the campus of Covenant High School. All of you have your own personal reasons as to why you may elect to place your children in a Christian school. Just maybe pragmatic reasons dominate your decision. For example, safety from drugs, gangs, and violence in public schools. Perhaps social and cultural issues dominate your decision. You want the school to educate your children, not to indoctrinate your children. Especially with the progressive political and social agenda on gender and social justice issues, which may undermine what you believe as a Christian. Another pragmatic reason may be in the minds of some. A private Christian education prepares my child much better for success in college and in the world, specifically towards a vocation that will be self-sustaining for their future life and family. At this point, allow me one final example that often emerges among Christian parents that I have run throughout the years. The disciplines of the hard sciences and the issue of evolution and cosmology. Hopefully, a Christian school education keeps my child away from Charles Darwin and his influence on evolution of the human being. Well, for whatever reason, you, as parents and your child seek a Christian education, it is my hope this evening that if you have pursued Christian education for pragmatic reasons, that those reasons will dissolve in favor to embrace Christian education as the best directive to know our triune God. As the best directive to understand and interpret all aspects of God's world, as well as to understand and interpret male and female as created in God's image. Christian education is the best place to learn about God, the world, and the human species. So as we reflect on this directive, I have read three passages from the Word of God, beginning with the Shema from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. This passage has been historically used by Christians as a prime text to support and defend the importance of Christian education. Since this text speaks of the home, the text has been used to support Christian homeschooling, which has exploded over the last 30 plus years. But historically, it has been used to set up Christian day schools. Since in Israel, the parents' education in the home was also connected to the Israelite community as a whole. As the text was read, I assume you can understand why the text had such a pinnacle position in the Hebrew religion and the education of their children. Notice the opening phrase, "Hear, O Israel." The call here is that every Israelite must listen and obey what is about to be said. As you read, you can see its encompassing application with respect to the home. It begins with proclaiming God, their creator and redeemer, as their sole focus of worship in their home. Every Israelite is to personally love their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. True biblical religion is not external. Rather, it is internal. It is the religion of the heart. Now, what is this true religion in one's home? See the force and the importance that stands behind the initiative and the activity of Christian education in the believer's home. We are told that we are to teach, instruct diligently our children, whom the Lord, by His grace, has given to us. Our instruction as parents is not merely academic. It also includes every aspect of our life. We are to teach our children when they sit in our homes, when they walk in the way, when we walk with them, when they lie down to sleep, and when they rise up in the morning. Our whole life, every minute of the day, is a living religious relationship with the God of the Bible. Not one moment from being awakened in the morning until lying down in the evening is to be lived outside the consciousness of thinking and doing the will of God. Indeed, the true believer and their home meditates upon the word of the Lord day and night. Moses goes on to provide serious language that teaching also needs a non-binding relationship with the child. Thus, the will of God is to be a binding sign on their hands concerning everything a person does with the labor of their hands. And secondly, the commitment of God and His will is to be served as frontlets between the eyes. That is, God's word and His will is to be the direction that we are to take in everything that we do in our life. Some of you here this evening may not know a lot about the Reformed tradition of the Christian faith, and that's fine. But you may be interested in how this text is viewed in the Reformed tradition. It is conveyed in the name of the school, right here, Covenant High School. This text is understood as conveying what we call a covenant consciousness of our relationship with the sovereign God of the universe. As the text teaches, believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ live in an intimate, binding, that is, tying together is the Hebrew word, tying together relationship between God and our children. This means we want our children to understand and interpret everything in the world with the mind of Christ, with a heart committed to Christ, with a soul that only loves the residence of Christ. Moreover, we want our children to be conscious of a loving, eternal relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in everything they do all the days of their lives. Now take what the Deuteronomy passage is saying and transform it into the revelation of the New Testament. placing it more fully in the person and work of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you love the central person of our holy faith? Do you love Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind? Do you want to love? Do you want the love of Jesus in the hearts of your children so that God's will in Christ governs every aspect of their life? When they sit in the house, when they walk, when you walk with them, when they lie down, and when they rise up in the morning. Indeed, we want our homes, our children, to truly embrace Christ, who is preeminent in all things and over all things. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the fullness of God. All things were created by or from him in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. All things hold together by him. Every academic discipline in the Christian school, every activity in the Christian school must be shaped in the manner of the Shema. Whatever you say, whatever you do, the truth found in Christ's person, salvation, and values is to control parent, teacher, and student. We are not going to teach or to learn outside the domain of Christ as a binding relationship between the subject matter, the subject matter being taught and comprehended. Christ's preeminence must be upheld in each classroom, each discipline, each extracurricular activity. Christ is the creator of all things, and by his coming into the world, he reconciles to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Well, now we are ready as to what I referred to in my 43 years of teaching as a Christian educator, the Christian education circle based on Romans 11:36. In presenting the content of my courses, I made every attempt to keep a consciousness of this passage as a binding relationship between myself and my students as we engage the subject matter under investigation in our study. Specifically, the binding obligation to Christ and our triune God as the students and myself investigate the subject matter of the day. I also have a binding relationship with the student to understand, interpret the content of study as coming from Christ to being understood and interpreted through Christ, whether it be in the context there of redemption or even in the context as a common benefit. The subject serves in preserving God's plan of creation, even in the midst of non-Christians, and also in terms of through Christ, also understanding that judgment, that God's judgment might be relevant in terms of the discussion of that particular subject, and pressing our understanding and interpretation of the subject of study to glorify Christ from, through, to. And in terms of glorifying Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5 is a wonderful passage for us to keep in mind of how we do that, taking every thought captive in our discipline to the obedience of Christ. Simply put, every single subject taught in the academic curriculum is to be studied as having its origin from God, its content through God, and its end to God. At the heart of applying a covenant consciousness to Christian education is Christ as the Alpha and the Omega. The subject matter begins with Christ, and it ends with Christ. It ends with Christ. So often, in my own experience in terms of Christian education, this is extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult. Please appreciate what Christian teachers have to do, okay, in terms of this. It's a lot of work to understand the concept through to. Almost every Christian educator that I taught with can understand their subject and their discipline as coming from God. But how do you interpret that subject and discipline through Christ? And how do you get that discipline understood so that goes back and glorifies Christ? Ah, that's hard work. Hard work. We can take the children out, you see. Beautiful leaves in the fall. I was on a school board, interviewed many teachers, and I would ask them this question. They can all say, yes, we take them out, take them for the tour. Yeah, this is all comes from God. Wonderful. Now, how do you interpret it through God and to God? Often a blank on the face of the applicant. So it is. For example, from a biblical perspective with respect to the field of mathematics, and by the way, I'm no mathematician, so okay. Our goal is not to produce a Christian Nobel Prize winner in mathematics, nor is our goal to have Christian mathematician on the board of NASA, or to be the head of the mathematics department at MIT. What is the goal in the Christian school? What is the purpose of learning mathematics? You learn mathematics to understand the incredible simplicity and mysteries of God's world. And you are to understand every mathematical question, problem, and answer in binding relationship with God, that everything, to repeat, is from, through, and to God. Herein is the goal, to live in binding, faithful relationship with Christ and God when applying mathematics to any level of our life, recognizing that all mathematical propositions hold together by the word of God's power. There's no mathematics without Jesus. There isn't any. Hence, whether the believer is applying mathematics to one's personal and family budget, or if one has chosen mathematics as his field of vocation, from a school teacher to an engineer, the believer allows one's binding identity in Christ to totally define the discipline. In this context, the issue is not the position of prominence in the world, but whether you are performing your task in a self-conscious, binding manner with your God. Specifically, you perform your task in an act of loving your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. In the final analysis, it is only God that counts. It is only Christ that counts, the Alpha and the Omega of our education. Now, if you grasp what I am saying, I want to challenge your Christian education, whether in the school or in the home, to educate our youth in the context of a curriculum in which the biblical conception of binding the relationship between God and teacher, parent, student, child is at the heart of the entire enterprise, of the integration enterprise. That's my IDS part. Briefly, permit me to give the biblical foundation for what I am placing before you this evening. In Genesis 2, God introduces his reader to his covenant name. In fact, the name of God, Yahweh, Lord, is introduced in the phrase, Lord God. That phrase does not appear in Genesis chapter 1. You may know that. In Genesis 2:7, we read about the actual creation of Adam. The text says that the Lord God breathed into Adam and he became a living being. Adam is given life from God in binding relationship with him. It is God's binding name of commitment that gives Adam life. Adam has no existence, or to say it more generally, man has no existence unless God, in a binding relationship, creates him. That's why evolution is a lie. Right there. If you will, there is no biological aspect of Adam's existence without God creating him in this binding relationship. And that is true of all the natural sciences. Let us go further. Once Adam is created in time and space, Adam is a being in history. Hence, Adam has no history unless God, in binding relationship, creates him. So you have the historical, social, and psychological sciences. They don't exist without Christ, without God. From this point, Adam enters communion and fellowship with his Creator. He has no communication skills unless God, in binding relationship, creates him as a creature of language, language arts, performing arts, visual arts, the vocal arts. Hopefully, you are beginning to grasp the point. There is absolutely no existence or integration of life without our God in binding relationship with the creature that he created in his image. Furthermore, and perhaps most important, in the heart of God's binding activity as creator is the Lord of the covenant. His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. As the scriptures will tell us, in him is life. There is no biological aspect of God's binding act of creation without Christ. As the scripture teaches us, Christ is the Lord of history. He is the focus and center of history, and thus humanity's existence in time and space has no meaning outside of Christ. As the scripture instructs, at the heart of God's communication and fellowship with Adam is the condescension of his word, which will be most intimately made known in the second person of the Godhead, the incarnate Word of God. Simply stated, you cannot do biology, history, language arts, or any other discipline in the academic curriculum without integrating the binding relationship of the human and Christ into the subject matter. Christ, without this binding foundation, reduces Christian education to humanistic imitation and moral platitudes. Specifically, to accent binding education without Christ will reduce Christian education to social relationships which will attempt to construct social, psychological, and political harmony of humanity under some type of human-made utopian view of culture, which will always fail. And if you don't believe me, just look at the culture. Just look at it. On the other hand, Christ, with a biblical binding relationship between the triune God and those involved in education, defines a Christian and Christ-centered education in complete devotion of directing our youth, your youth, to the inheritance, 1 Peter 1, to the inheritance of our triune God in all his final cosmic reconciling glory. Union with the exalted Christ is our only true end in Christian education. Union with the exalted Christ is our only true end in Christian education. Herein lays our hope, trust, confidence, and faith as a pilgrim people against the mess of secular society. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, in terms of your word and your instruction to us concerning our education of our children in our homes and in the Christian school, we've only scratched the surface here. There's so much more to think about, but we ask, O Lord, that your word from these scripture passages would be helpful to us in terms of how we are to understand the binding relationship that thou hast given unto us in your grace to raise our children in the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us the diligence, give us the discipline to understand that all things are from, through, and to him, and to our triune God forever and ever. And, O Lord, we ask that it would be upon our person, no matter in terms of whether we are at work, play, or whatever we do in terms of our vocation in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.